you're listening to Principal Broadcasting, featuring the League of Professionals with Muriel Donnelly, weekdays 10 to 4 p.m. with current topics to elevate your career to the next level.
John Stevens here with Principal Broadcasting, and today I have a very special guest joining me. His name is Dr. Steve Weisblatt, and he is a therapist down there in Maryland. And today we're going to find out all about his practice and what it is that he's doing for the people of Maryland. So without any further ado, let's welcome him to the show. Dr. Weisblatt, welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I thought it would be a good place to start if you just kind of gave us just a brief history yourself on how you got involved in therapy.
Well, I was actually born in Maryland, but my practice is in the Connecticut, New York area.
Perfect.
I've been practicing psychiatry for 31 years. I started out wanting to emphasize the therapy nature of the work, training in part to be a psychoanalyst and a family therapist after being board certified as a psychiatrist, and subsequently was moonlighting to pay for that training and ended up doing a lot of work in diagnosis and pharmacology and ended up making that my career, trying to assess when people have brain chemistry problems,
right,
when they don't, and thus not ending up giving medicine to people who shouldn't get it and not withholding it till, unfortunately, a therapy doesn't work. And then somebody gets the bright idea to ask the question if there's a brain chemistry diagnosis as well.
Dr. Weisblatt, off the air, we spoke a little bit about some misdiagnoses that are taking place in your industry specifically. I was curious if you could speak a little bit to what you think is the reason behind some of these misdiagnoses, and also why you think doctors well-trained in therapy and in psychiatrics, why they're just so easily to whip out their prescription pad and write off a prescription, not even spending maybe 10, 15 minutes with the patient.
You're putting a couple of different problems together. Number one, we live in a I-want-it-now society.
Yeah.
So often there is a wish from the patient's perspective to have immediate relief. From another perspective, we have primary care doctors giving 85% of psychiatric drugs. So the patient seeking care is not really in the presence of someone who has been steeped in the skill set of determining when meds are appropriate and when meds are inappropriate.
Right.
So you have, of the 15% seeing mental health professionals, when they see psychiatrists, the bias tends to be, and it's a tendency, it's not global, to use pharmacology or medication. And remember that with the insurance dollar ever tightening, there is less and less face time allowed with even a well-meaning clinician to establish a correct diagnosis and good plan of care. And then we have a change in the field itself, where years ago, when people had a complaint of depression accompanied by amplified anxiety or amplified irritation or amplified anger or amplified speed of thoughts or other amplifications, we thought that was called an agitated depression, and we would treat it with antidepressants. And from a best practice point of view, at this point, you know, 20 or 30 years later, we understand those to be people who have depression as part of their illness, but their illness may be more accurately described as a subtle form of bipolar disorder.
That brings up a great point, because I think so many times and so often, especially in your field, words like depression and anxiety kind of get tossed around a little bit, where they could sometimes be the full-on cause or diagnosis that a doctor gives a patient, where they prescribe them Xanax or some kind of antidepressant. But you're bringing up the point that sometimes depression and anxiety can actually be symptoms to a larger issue.
Right. I think, once again, there is a difference between the complaint of the patient, that is the symptom or problem that they're seeking relief from,
right,
and the disorder that is diagnosed. For example, many children are given inappropriately stimulants for supposedly attentional deficit disorders. But you can have an attentional disorder if you're depressed. You can have an attentional disorder if you are bipolar. You can have an attentional deficit if you're preoccupied with your parents fighting at home.
Right.
So again, just because one has a certain symptom, it does not necessarily mean one has the disorder frequently associated with that symptom, because there are lots of different disorders that could include it. So that's why the importance of making a careful diagnosis. Number one, to assess, is there a brain chemistry problem, yes or no? And what if there is one, what is its exact diagnosis? Because treatment should be differentiated from management of symptoms. If you go to a doctor for pneumonia, you don't want him or her to manage your fever and coughing with Tylenol and Robitussin.
Right.
You want him or her to recognize, oh, this is something requiring an antibiotic. I may be giving Robitussin and Tylenol for the first couple days, but the real solution will be an antibiotic. So once again, it's critical to differentiate, whether it's general medicine or psychiatry, between the relief of a symptom and treating an underlying brain chemistry disorder if present.
I think we need more mental health professionals in this world like you who can understand that just writing people off a prescription isn't necessarily helping them, and it certainly isn't helping the society in general and helping get some of these mental health issues vanquished. So again,
right.
Thank you.
However, we should also not underrepresent that there are some people, many people, just like a pancreas can have a problem and you have diabetes.
Right.
There are many people who have real brain chemistry problems, and they will need a pharmacological fix. But everybody should think about also what they can do in their lifestyle in terms of limiting drinking, getting enough sleep, to also promote mental health, so that it's not happiness in a bottle, but also incorporates things like therapy and lifestyle adjustments.
That's fantastic. Now, Dr. Weisblatt, where can people find your services? Do you have a website or a Facebook page, anything like that?
My website is www.dr, like doctor, my last name, Weisblatt, W-E-I-S, as in Sam, B as in Baker, LATT.com. There's some articles on there. And the MDQ, that mood disorder questionnaire, is there as well, so people can take that in privacy and decide if that's something, you know, when they present to their doctors, would that be helpful in making sure they get the right diagnosis and the right treatment.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Weisblatt, thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit of your professional world with us and really digging deep into this issue with mental health professionals misdiagnosing some of their patients. I thought it was a fantastic conversation. And of course, I wish you the best going forward.
This is Principal Broadcasting, the professional's choice.